This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
Well, when we think about the biggest health threats facing us, we often think of heart disease, cancer, or infectious diseases. But one of the deadliest dangers is something we can't even see. Now, new research, just to give you some background, from the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air, estimates that air pollution contributes to around, listen to this, 42,000 premature deaths every year in South Africa, with Gauteng alone accounting for an estimated 16,000 deaths annually. Now, you can well imagine the economic impact is equally staggering, costing the country an estimated 960 billion rand each year through healthcare costs, lost productivity, and reduced quality of life. Now, the findings have once again placed our country's air quality under the spotlight, particularly here in Gauteng and what's known as the Highveld Priority Area, where coal-fired power stations, heavy industry, and vehicle emissions continue to affect millions of people. Well, joining us now to take a closer look at this issue regarding our health, environment, and our future, we welcome back Simon Geer. Simon is a climatologist and one of our country's leading authorities on global warming and environmental sustainability. Simon, good afternoon to you, and welcome once again. Great to have you on board.
No, thanks. Good afternoon. Always nice to be here.
To say the least, these figures are alarming. Let's just recap. An estimated 42,000 premature deaths each year linked to air pollution. Well, it isn't something many South Africans are talking about. We wonder why. But how serious is this crisis, and why doesn't it somehow receive the same attention as other public health issues?
This is not new news. This is something that certainly the air quality fraternity have known forever. Particularly the Mpumalanga Highveld area that you mentioned earlier, that's region that extends pretty much from the airports all the way eastward to the escarpment, where all of our big coal-fired power stations are, and also things like the industry around Witbank and Secunda and Sasselburg, all of those sort of things. So that's an area that is under huge pressure from an air quality point of view. It's also an area that has a lot of very, very poor people living in informal settlements. And the primary source of fuel in that area, because there's no wood anywhere on that high fault, it's all grassland. Is people pick up the coal on the side of the road from the coal trucks going to Eskom, and they burn that inside their houses for warmth and for cooking. And so that has a major, major air quality impact. So a lot of these impacts are actually very, very localized. But we do have sort of general, more regional impacts as well. And that's because of the type of weather we get in winter. Mm-hmm. We're not like Cape Town, where the whole air just gets flushed out every time a cold front comes through. We tend to have very, very stable winter conditions. And that often traps pollution right close to the ground. Sure. If you've driven to work in the mornings and you see that mist in the valleys, that's called an inversion, where cold air gets trapped close to the ground. And that also has the effect of trapping smoke close to the ground and making air quality worse, particularly in winter.
Let's look at the air quality issue itself in terms of what we are breathing, Simon. And when we hear terms like PM2.5 or particulate matter, well, that can sound very, very technical. So what exactly are these pollutants? Where do they come from, and why are they so dangerous?
Okay, so PM2.5 and PM10 are very, very fine particles of dust or soot, and can be inhaled right into your lungs and obviously have impacts. So they are normally a byproduct of combustion.
Right.
So stuff that comes out of the back of your car or out of the smokestack of a power station or a large factory, the particulate matter will be PM. PM2.5 or PM10. The larger particle dust, which you can't breathe in, we generally call TSP, total suspended particulates. So that's dust that can get into the air, but it might make you cough, but it won't necessarily get into your lungs. So, you know, if you're driving behind a bucky on a dirt road or something like that, those particles are much, much bigger and don't necessarily have an impact on your lungs. It just makes it unpleasant to breathe. But yeah, PM10, PM2.5. So PM2.5, by the way, it means particles that are less than 2.5 microns in diameter. And PM10 is less than 10 microns in diameter. So very, very small particles that can get into you.
You know, we often hear people using terms like climate change also in air pollution and air pollution interchangeably, if I can put it that way. Are they perhaps the same issue, or are they different environmental challenges that happen to be connected?
No, people mustn't get into the mistake of conflating the two, because they're not the same. This is used a lot by people who are trying to counteract climate change arguments that, oh, no one ever got sick by breathing in carbon dioxide. Of course, that, but it's so when we talk about air pollution, air quality, we're talking very specifically about gases or particulates that are coming out of a stack that can affect our health. Whereas climate change, we're talking about carbon dioxide or other greenhouse gases, which affect the temperature of the planet as a whole. They're two very, very different things, but obviously related. Any stack that is emitting pollution is also emitting large amounts of greenhouse gas.
Simon, let's just revert back to the Highveld challenge, the Highveld priority area, which I introduced to at the beginning of the show and what you also referred to earlier on. Well, it's long been identified as one of the country's pollution hotspots. But now it begs the question, why has it then been so difficult to improve air quality there despite years, if we consider, years of awareness and regulation?
I mean, the short answer is because we still like to have electricity. And there isn't the political will or the economic will to change our electrical infrastructure away from coal to more renewable resources. And so therefore, Eskom has specific sets of regulation which are different from other industries, which allow them to emit more pollution than they would be if they were just an ordinary factory. And so that's one of the problems. Those Eskom stacks, though, are very, very high, sort of in excess of 200 meters. Mm-hmm. And the gas actually disperses very, very well out of the top of those. So I think a lot of the air quality that's really impacting people severely is probably the far more localized air quality from things like, you know, using coal or wood to burn within their houses, or very, very close to their houses. But obviously having Eskom and Sasol and the large iron refineries in that area, or iron foundries rather, don't help at all.
I mean, we look at groups of people now. Let's just narrow this down, who are most vulnerable to poor air quality. Are we looking at children, older people, and those with existing health conditions facing the greatest danger? Who would you say?
Yeah, pretty much. I think you need to add poor people into that as well. People who live a middle-class lifestyle and who, all the roads around them are tarred and have electricity into their houses, all of those sort of things. They are insulated from air quality issues to a greater or lesser degree. But people who are very poor, living on the margins of society, struggling, live in either a shack that doesn't have electricity or can't afford electricity and so use other fuel sources, those are the people that are most at risk.
Simon, interesting question I'm getting from one of our listeners. The question reads, are there simple measures that individuals can take to reduce their exposure to poor air quality, or is this largely beyond personal control?
So it's often beyond personal control in terms of if you're a poor family and you're not going to use coal to cook, what are you going to do? Mm. There are means of making fires. There's what's called the upside down fire, which is a mechanism of lighting the top of the fire rather than the bottom, and that decreases the emissions. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But the first prize is obviously to electrify the house. For middle class people, things like avoiding exercising on busy roads, use your parks, those sort of things. And if you do know that it's a bad day for air quality and you maybe do have pre-existing conditions, stay indoors as much as you can. And just a quick Google of Johannesburg and air quality will usually give you the reading for the day. You'll become sure. quite used to that. But as a general rule, it's weather like this. Those clear skies in winter where there hasn't been much wind, that you start seeing the air quality deteriorate over Joburg.
You know, we're looking at, you're talking of air quality, Simon. The report also estimates that poor air quality is costing us nearly 1 trillion rand annually. Now, beyond healthcare costs, what would you say would be the broader economic consequences of polluted air?
So, obviously, the cost of monitoring and permitting industry is a cost that they have to bear. So if you are opening a factory, you have to get an air emissions license, and that would cost the price of a consultant like me. That's a lot of the work that I do, mm-hmm. is providing that to industry, and you might need to get an independent assessor to come in once a year or even more often than that to monitor. So all of those things are costs to industry. And if you don't abide by that, the fines can run into the millions. Sure. And I've had a couple of clients who've got into trouble, and in fact, in one case, they didn't audit the business properly before they bought it, didn't realize that there was this as a problem.
Wow.
And the fines landed up closing the business down. So there is that sort of thing. But I mean, these are essential. You know, the government mm-hmm. needs to be able to monitor and manage air quality. And that obviously does come with a cost.
If we continue along this path, what does South Africa's air quality look like over the next decade from your perspective? And conversely, what could our future look like if we make meaningful changes now?
Well, I mean, certainly we need to consistently move ourselves away from coal. That's just a good long-term planning anyway, because our coal is not going to last forever.
Sure.
And that is going to have the dual impact of improving our air quality and decreasing our global climate change impact. So that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. Also has the impact of decreasing the environmental impact on our rivers and on our grasslands from the coal mines that we open regularly, because most of those mines are open cast and have an enormous footprint. So that sort of long-term planning is really, really important. And it's not just moving away from coal, but it's making sure that these coal-fired power stations are properly maintained, have proper mitigation measures in the stacks to decrease air quality, the air pollution impacts. You know, all of these sort of things, they're not glamorous projects. They're not the sort of thing that, the president can go and cut a ribbon and have the light bulb, the flash bulbs go off.
They, sure.
They're real nitty-gritty projects that the politicians need to get to grips with to make sure that the country is running optimally. And Eskom's getting better now, but the state it was allowed to run into in the late 90s and early 2000s, just not doing the maintenance properly,
sure.
Is a large reason why we have these problems now.
Simon, we're going to leave it there. And thank you so much once again for joining us on today's show. Simon Geer, climatologist and one of our country's leading authorities on global warming and environmental sustainability. Let's just recap on air pollution. Often called the silent killer because its effects aren't always immediate, but they are profound. And latest research, well, it certainly served as a reminder that the quality of the air we breathe affects everything. Our health, life expectancy, our economy, the future of our cities. And addressing this issue isn't only an environmental issue. It's a public health priority and an economic necessity. And the good news is that many of the solutions already exist. But now the challenge is to implement, finding the political will and collective action to implement them. Our thanks once again to Simon Geer, climatologist and national authority on global warming and green issues, helping us better understand one of our country's most pressing environmental challenges.